Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Job, chapter 25. Job, chapter 25, we'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Job 25, verses 1 through 6. Job 25, verses 1 through 6. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, "Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies, and upon whom doth not his light arise? How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of woman? Behold, even the moon, and it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, the son of man, which is a worm." And let's pray. Father, thank you for a place called church. Lord, the world goes to ball games and people get drunk and hurt. Lord, we get to come to your house and have fun. Not only that, we get to hear the preaching of the Word of God, which changes our lives forever and for eternity. It'll help us and it'll help others. Father, please help us to focus our minds. Help us to focus our attention as the preacher focuses his attention on you and your book to give us what we need, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I'm going to preach, as I suggested this morning, a sermon, and it is called Man That Is a Worm. Man That Is a Worm. You read it earlier, Job chapter 25, verse number 6. It says, "How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm." Now, before I get started, I found a little bit of humor I thought was cute. I want to share it with you. A preacher decided that a visual demonstration would add emphasis to his Sunday sermon. Four worms were placed into four separate jars. The first worm was put into a container of Coca-Cola. The second worm was put into a container of cigarette smoke. The third worm was put into a container of chocolate syrup. The fourth worm was put into a container of good, clean soil. At the conclusion of the sermon, the preacher reported the following results. The first worm in Coca-Cola was dead. The second worm in the cigarette smoke was dead. The third worm in the chocolate syrup was dead. The fourth worm that was in the good, clean soil was alive. So the preacher asked the congregation, "What can you learn from this demonstration?" A smart aleck deacon was sitting in the back, quickly raised his hand and said, "Way I see it, as long as you drink Coca-Cola, smoke cigarettes, and eat chocolate, you'll never have worms." I don't know if that's true or not. God, for some reason in the scripture and on more than one occasion, compares man to a worm. That thought, when I read that scripture, it grasped my attention, and I thought, I wonder why. I thank God for the Bible. There are those who can complicate it beyond our comprehension, but God never intended it to be that way. God loves man, and God wants man to understand the Bible. God wants us to see the simplicity of the Bible, and if we have a problem maybe with the baby and they need to be taken out, don't be afraid to do that so everybody can concentrate. Look right this way. God is saying that I want you to understand me. I don't want things to be complicated. And so God compares man to a worm. When I was a boy, even to this day, I enjoy fishing. And of course, to go fishing, to me, you've got to have worms. You've got to have bait. There was a fella up the alley from me, and his name, we called him Pappy Goforth. And he had the best garden in town. And he knew how to fertilize that thing, and his tomatoes were bigger than everybody else's tomatoes. His cucumbers, I mean, they were just everywhere. And if I ever wanted to dig for worms, I went to Pappy Goforth, You could just stick that shovel in, overturn one little shovel full of dirt, and boy, you'd have worms. And nothing like, I mean, it was like a gold mine. You went down to Pappy Goforce and you dig into his garden, you'd find worms. And you had to have worms if you're going to go fishing. Then, right next door to me, Mr. Jones, my next door neighbor, he had a garden. But you weren't supposed to go in Mr. Jones's garden. And he had told me specifically, don't go in my garden looking for worms. So you had to do it at night. If it would rain, that's when we'd look for night crawlers. You know, it'd rain and then them worms would come up and we'd get us a flashlight. And oh boy, Mr. Jones's, they were definitely night crawlers, and I was a night crawler hunter. And I can remember I'd say, well, I'm going fishing tomorrow morning. It's rained. I'm going to sneak over to Mr. Jones's garden and get some night crawlers. I'll never forget this one time. It had rained. Mr. Jones had told me, he had threatened me within inches of my life not to go in his garden and get night crawlers. And I always figured I was slick enough that I could go over there at night and I could get them night crawlers without Mr. Jones knowing it. One night it was muddy. I mean muddy, bad muddy. And I had gone over, had my flashlight out, and we'd get a can. We'd get an old green bean can. I'd use it, throw a little dirt in it, and we'd go around looking for night crawlers, me and my little brother, and you know, jumping on them and grabbing them and sticking them in the can. And I just knew I got away with it. I stepped, but it muddy. I mean, muddier than usual. And I came out of that garden, walked back down the alley, and went into the garage. We had a cement paved driveway. Went into the garage, put my can of worms in the fridge that was out there to keep them cool. And I'm going to get up early the next morning and go fishing. And we ended up next morning having a knock on the door, and it was a police officer. See, I had been told not to look for worms. Mr. Jones had told me that's because he and I had had conversations about this, and we weren't seeing eye to eye about the worms in his garden. Well, the police officer came to the door and asked if I knew anybody had been in Mr. Jones's garden. Well, I did the right thing. I denied it. I said, well, what do you mean somebody been in his garden? And it's funny how the police officer asked, because he said, now, are you sure? I said, I'm pretty sure. He said, well, come out here, son. Well, what I didn't realize in the night, that the mud was so muddy that I had mud almost up to my knees. And when I had come out of his garden, walked down the alley, and I left these great big shoe prints of mud. I mean, the trail led right to my garage. Police officer said, do you know whose footprints those are? I said, I had to calculate for a second. I thought maybe I could blame my mom or something, but they were mine. But I was out to get night crawlers. Then, if it really got bad, which you hate to do, I hated to spend my money on night crawlers. Why pay for something that you can get free out of Pappy Goforce garden or out of Mr. Jones's garden, but it's not worth going to prison over? But we had this fella in town. His name was Shorty Fry. And Shorty, he sold night crawlers. But what kind of a guy wants to pay 25 cents for 12 worms that you can get free? And back then you say, boy, inflation, you're right, 25 cents. You used to be able to buy a lot of stuff for 25 cents, but you could get a dozen worms for 25 cents. And if they were night crawlers, they were 25. If they were red worms, you can get them for 20, because red worms are real small. You all know about worms and all? You got to know something about worms if you're going to be a fisherman. And don't let people sell you the ones that have been laying out there in the rain and the water. They already drowned half to death. They're slimy and nasty and half dead. You know, you can tell when you look at them. If they got that slime stuff dripping off of them, there's something not good about that. Now that I'm teaching you the Bible like I am, let's go on. In Job chapter 25, verse number 6, it says, how much less man that is a worm. In this passage of scripture, it is a conversation that is being held between Job and a friend by the name of Bildad. And man in this passage is compared to a worm. I have here some night crawlers, and these are not slimy ones. These are fresh, they're healthy. Oh boy, hold still, buddy. Man, that's a healthy worm right there. I've got bigger ones in here, buddy. Look at that. Man, if you were a smallmouth bass, wouldn't you suck that thing down right there? I've got some worms up here to help me with this illustration, but God, for some reason in the scripture, allowed man to be compared to a worm. The comparison again is seen in Psalm 22:6, where it says, "But I am a worm." Our God is a great God, and I really believe that man, in comparison to God, is clearly a worm. I guess we as worms should be very careful to overvalue ourselves. Why would God refer to us as a worm? I guess as a worm, we should never be so blind and arrogant to challenge God about anything. That little old worm right there, it doesn't really is not a match for God. That worm is at God's total disposal. As worms, I guess we should be amazed that God would love creatures as lowly as we are. You know, the Bible says in Job 7:17, "What is man that thou shouldst magnify him, and that thou shouldst set thine heart upon him?" You know, folks, our God loves us. It's an amazing thing that God could love man, who God could justifiably compare to a worm. But God magnifies man. God loves man. God is mindful of man. God let his son die for man, the worm. Could I suggest that those of you that overly admire people with money, that you remember that people with money and power are merely worms? They're merely worms. Don't overreact. You'll be all right. They put those in hot dogs. It's called Earthobate. Those among you, you know, when people get to being show-offs, may I remind you that that person that tends to show off, they're just a worm. God says, just a worm. You vain ladies that think you're God's gift to men. You're just a worm. You macho men bodybuilders, you think you're really something. You're just a worm on steroids. That's all you are. There's a variety of different types of worms, and God in the Bible said that man is like a worm. And there's a reason why God made that comparison. Let me very simply and very quickly tell you why God would compare man to a worm. Let me say, first of all, worms come from the earth. Worms come from the earth. Worms originate in the dirt. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Man was formed from the dirt. When God said man is a worm, you can see one of the comparisons here. The worm originates in that dirt, and man came from the dirt of the ground. We're dirt. Hey, we're held together by God. We're merely dirt. We should be, and you know, when I look at a worm, you notice that a worm never stands up. There's no arrogance about a worm. The worm always lies flat and lays close to the ground. I want to recommend to all men, we're worms, and we ought to be humble in the presence of God. You see, some people think that, well, I'm important, and we want to stand erect, and we want to show everybody who we are. And I can tell you the best thing for us to do is to fall down in humility. We ought to fall down in humility before God, and we ought to fall down in humility and realize man is a worm. You say, compared to who? God. Compared to God. And so when God says that man is a worm, I see why. The worm originates in the soil, and man comes from the dust of the earth. Then secondly, another reason why God would say man is a worm is because a worm has little value and very little beauty. Worms are not used for jewelry. They're not used for wall hangings. They're not used in museums. You don't have the National Museum of Worms, and we don't travel from across America to go and see all the collection of worms. They're not used for savings like gold, and not used for savings like silver, not used like diamonds. No, they're not carried in our wallets or in our purses to make purchases. Not at all. Now, you and I, really, if you look at it, we're not of great value. Thank God that God chose to love us, but we're not that hot. We're not that great in value. Compared to Jesus, we're nothing. The real beauty of man lies in the fact that God chose to love him. God makes man valuable, but man seems to decrease the value of man. It is God that makes us valuable. We seem to mess up that value. So, worm doesn't have much value. And that may be one reason why God compared us to a worm. Worms are not real attractive. Have you ever noticed how the behavior of man can make him so ugly so quick? Mankind can become so hateful and stingy and self-centered and mean. Oh my, oh my. Our value is not that high, but God chose to let man, who is a worm, be important to God. There's another reason why I think worms are compared to man or man to worms, and that's because this: worms will lie open to danger. Worms will lie open to danger. Sometimes worms will lie out right where danger could very easily get to them. They're a target. You know, when a bird goes after a worm, the bird does not dig a foot deep hole to get to that worm. That worm has been lying out where the bird could get to it. A foot could very easily crush a worm. And you and I were much like that. Man is very vulnerable to multiple dangers in life. Man is an easy target for sin. Man is an easy target for Satan. Man is an easy target for the world. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse number 3, "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among the wolves." And you know, you and I, we are easy prey. And the worm is just lying there, and it's a target. It's easy to be damaged. It's easy to be hurt. And again, I see why God might say man is as a worm. Why? Because we come from the dirt, just like the worms come from the dirt. Why? Because we're not of great value or of great beauty compared to Jesus. Why? Because we are open and will lie open in danger of harm and destruction. And then something else. I think that something very small could crush or kill a worm. And I think, again, a comparison, something very small could crush or damage us as human beings. You know, worms are easily damaged. They're easily crushed. It wouldn't take much. If I decided I wanted to damage that worm, I could easily crush it. I could throw it on the ground. I could very quickly smash it with my foot. I could very easily drown it. I could very easily pull it apart. I mean, anybody that's ever had a worm in your hands, you know how easy they are to tear apart. You just tear them apart very, very quickly. You see, small things can hurt worms. Small things can hurt man. We get pretty confident, big old tough man. But did you know that one drop of water can drown a man? Drop of water get in your body the wrong way, it can drown you. Did you know that one small spider bite can bring your life to an end? Did you know that a crumb of bread, if you swallowed it, you got it in the wrong pipe in your throat, it could choke you to death? Do you realize that a very small parasite of the wrong kind could get into your body and virtually destroy you? You see, the worm could be damaged by something small. Could I say to all the Christians here, small things can destroy you. Small things can destroy you. Hey, if the devil can't get you to do the big dumb things, he'd get you to do the little dumb things, and they would mount up and they would eventually destroy you. Lost man, for instance. Let me tell you how lost man could be like a worm. We're talking about how little things can destroy. Do you know that when you get saved, you are to trust Jesus Christ 100% for salvation? Now, I wonder if somebody came along and said, you know what I'll do? I'll trust Jesus 99%, but I want to trust my good works 1%. What would happen to that person? They die and go to hell. Wonder if somebody came along and said, I'm going to trust Jesus 99% for my salvation, but I'm going to trust my tithe and offering 1%. That 1% would send them to hell. Because salvation, you're 100% dependent on Jesus Christ. It's funny how one little thing One little thing could be destructive to man, and a little thing could affect that worm. A little thing could crush it. A little thing could hurt it. A little thing could snuff out its life. The Song of Solomon says in chapter 2, verse 15, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. It's talking about the little foxes would run among the grapevines and it would destroy the crop of the vines. Oh, be careful of the little things. Man is like a worm, and little things could crush and destroy a worm. We've got to be careful of the little things. Hey, I could teach y'all something about your finances. You know, many, many times it is not the great big dumb expenditures that ruin us financially. It's a fact that we're not careful with a little bit of money here and a little bit of money there. You say, well, I did not go out and buy me a $30,000 boat. I know you spent $30,000 going to McDonald's at $6 at a crack. It doesn't have to be the big things. It can be a series of little things in any category of life. You say, my marriage is a mess, but Brother Owens, there wasn't an adulterous situation in our marriage. I know, but just day after day after day after day, there were little things that could have been done better and more right, and we just didn't attend to the little things in our marriage, and so they add up and they can make a big mess. You see, you young people, you say, well, Brother Owens, I didn't get demerits over in the Christian school for doing drugs. I didn't get demerits for that. I know, you just got a demerit every day for being late, or a demerit every day for not turning in your homework, and sooner or later you're going to get enough demerits that you're going to be in trouble. And then you'll be mad at the school. Listen, man as a worm. How could man be compared to a worm? Well, he comes from the dirt like a worm comes from the dirt. How could man be compared to a worm? Well, a worm has little beauty and really very little value, just like man. Worms, how could man be compared to a worm? Well, a worm will lie open to danger and could be easily damaged. And then how could man be compared to a worm? Well, a worm, something very small could destroy it. Something very small could damage it or hurt it. But not only that. Number five, worms cannot deliver themselves from the big enemies in life. Worms can't fight. They're huge enemies. You know, there are all sorts of animals that consume worms. Moles go after the worms. Bats look for worms. Monkeys in the jungle, they dig and they search for worms. One of the most ferocious animals is a badger. Badger, mean animals, tough animals, if you know anything about the badger. Badgers are constantly digging, looking for worms. Now, did you know that that little worm right there, that worm cannot defend itself against a badger? That worm cannot defend itself against a monkey or a bat. You see, worms cannot deliver themselves when the most powerful beasts come after them. And just so you all know, you will not handle Satan on your own. We're worms. Some of you that you know, you think, well, I think I can protect my life well enough. I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to pray. I don't have to be faithful to church. I don't need an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental kind of a church to keep me safe. I can handle Satan on my own. You're a worm, buddy. You're a worm. You won't keep yourself safe. You need God to step in. We as worms need God to protect us. Psalm 32, verse number 7 says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. We as worms should thank God for the deliverance that he makes available in our lives. Now, I can remember back when I would go hunting for night crawlers. Every once in a while, I'd put my flashlight down and I would reach for the worm and it would slide into its hole. It would beat me. Well, that little worm, I don't know if he went in his hole and he thought, aha, you didn't get me. But I can tell everybody here, every week of your life, somehow God, your deliverer, helps you to slide out of the hands of a destruction because Satan hates you and wants to destroy you. And you better thank God that your God delivers you. because our God is a deliverer. The enemy could have eaten us a long time ago. We could have been destroyed a long time ago. But thank God, he is a deliverer. But the worm cannot deliver itself. You have never gone anywhere and seen a worm with his dukes up saying, come on, come on, take me on. No, never. They can't do it. And you and I need to stay close to God. You need the power of God in your life. You need the word of God in your life. You need the spirit of God in your life. And if you're going to survive the battle with Satan, you must face it. You're a worm and you need the great deliverer to keep you safe. How could you and I be compared to a worm? Not only is it that worms can't deliver themselves, but a worm is hunted by those that wish to devour it. You take a bird. Birds easily and often eat worms. Did you know that worms are hunted by vultures? I preached a sermon not long ago about the vultures of life. I'll tell you, the vultures are out to get you. The vultures want to destroy you. Men are preyed upon by the devil. Men are preyed upon by evil men. Hey, men are actually even preyed upon by evil people. That worm is hunted by a bird, and that bird, that evil, wishes to devour it and destroy it. And that is much like you and I. We are worms in life, and something is out to get us. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Look, folks, the devil wants to devour your purity. Young people, protect your purity. Now listen, you young people, you know how we feel about this. I want you, the day you get married, I want you to walk down the aisle. I want you to be pure and clean and virgin and give yourself to your mate as a clean gift to them. You say, preacher, it's too late. I've already made a mistake. Well, God will forgive you. Then decide to be pure from here on out. But hey, the devil is out to devour your purity. He's out to devour your future. The devil's out to devour your money. He's out to devour your marriage. He's out to devour your ministry. He's out to devour your family. The devil wants to devour. And much like a worm, there are birds of prey that are flying. There are vultures out. They're looking down, and they're looking down for weak people. They're looking for those that decide not to read their Bible. The vulture is looking for those that decide not to pray. Hey, I'll promise you, the vulture's flying around somebody's house tonight that ought to be in church, and they're not, and the old vulture's going to land on their rooftop and say, I've got me man a worm right there. There's somebody that thinks they can do it without God. There's somebody that thinks they can do it without prayer. Somebody that thinks they can do it without their Bible. Somebody that thinks they can do it without their church. Somebody that thinks they can do it without the right kind of church. It's not just church. It's the kind of church that'll tell you about vultures and it'll preach to you. You know, so I want to go to church where every time I leave, I feel good. Well, it won't be this one because I'm supposed to tell you about your sin. You're not supposed to feel good about your sin. A worm is hunted by birds, and the birds wish to devour. Lost men are worms. Lost men, you understand, the devil wants to take lost men to hell. They're like worms. You and I, we need to do all we can to influence people for salvation. Why? There are vultures out there that want to take the worm of man, lost man, wants to take him to hell. But not only that, I noticed that worms have the fear of men. When hunting night crawlers, they would run from us. When a worm feels the earth shake as man's feet are approaching it, it feels a vibration, it slips back into its hole. God said, man is like a worm, and a worm fears man. He slides away. Every time I stick my finger into this little pail of worms, all of them burrow deeper into the soil. They fight to get away from me. Can I tell you this? We as men somehow fear men, just like a worm. We fear men. Many times we're afraid to live right because we fear our peers. Folks, you need to live right and stop being a worm. Amen. Stop acting like a worm. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 6, it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Get some courage about yourself and stop being a worm. Amen. Carry your Bible to school. You go to the public school, carry your Bible to school. And some of you men that are saying amen right now, carry your Bible to work. Throw that thing on a dash of your pickup truck, put it on your desk. Don't you be ashamed of the Word of God. Don't you be fearful of men. Oh my, oh my, oh my. People are afraid today. They're afraid of one another. Look, if you're standing around, somebody's talking bad, you might need to say, look, I don't want to hear that kind of thing. And I'm not telling you have to be rude, but stop being afraid of people. Stand up for what's right. Don't fear what man shall do unto me. Stop fearing your workmates. Stop. It's time for some of you to stop listening to the dirty jokes down at work. You laugh along with the lost people. You're a worm. You're afraid to stand up and say, I don't want to hear that stuff. And I'm not necessarily saying you got to climb up on the picnic table at lunch and do your Billy Sunday Jr. imitation and preach him a 5-point outline why you don't listen to dirty jokes, but you can at least walk away and say, I'm a Christian. Some of you, the people at work don't even know you're a dedicated Christian. And part of it is because you're not. You're a fake. You come to church and you act like a Christian. You go to work and you act like the rest of the world. You're a fake. Stop being a worm. Stop being a worm and stop running from man and stand up and do what's right. Stop fearing your schoolmates. Do what's right. Do what's right. We're scared to death of our peers. Scared to death. Hey, stop fearing the lost. Don't fear the lost. If you need to tell somebody about Jesus, tell them about Jesus. Don't fear the lost. Don't fear your workmates. Don't fear your schoolmates. Don't fear your mother-in-law. Stand up. Don't be a worm, sir. You say, she's bigger than me. All mother-in-laws are bigger than their son-in-laws. Don't let it scare you. I've resolved that as our society gets worse, I've got to keep preaching against sin. They think we're a bunch of weirdos because we preach against sin. They want it all to stop. They don't want you to preach. They don't want you to draw a line and say sin is sin and black is black and white is white. It's still wrong. Sin is still wrong and we're going to preach against it. And I can't be afraid of what men are going to do unto me. See, the worm fears man. And if you and I are not careful, we see why God would compare man to a worm, because so many men fear each other to the point that they don't live for God and they don't do what they ought to do for God. Why is it? Why is it that God compared man to a worm? Because worms come forth from the earth. Because a worm has very little value and beauty. Because worms lie open to danger. And worms could be crushed and destroyed by something very little that enters their life. Worms can't deliver themselves from the big predators. And worms are hunted by birds and animals which wish to devour them, just like Satan wants to devour us. Why are we compared to worms? Because worms have a fear of man. But not only that, you know that there are worms that are very hurtful. There are worms that are hurtful. There are worms that destroy. You go out here to the orchards and you ask them. There are worms that'll eat their trees, eat their fruit. You ask some farmer. Farmers will debate back and forth. Sometimes a worm, he'll get in the ground and loosen the soil, but at the other times, a worm can eat all the nutrients out of the ground. I get this. Earlier, I was reading about worms, and one statement a man said worms have two faces. Worms have two faces. They have the good side of them and the bad side of them. They can prosper a farmer and they can hurt a farmer. Isn't that just like Christians? You know any two-faced Christians? But worms can be very hurtful. They can hurt flowers. They can hurt the fruit. They can hurt vegetables. They can get in and burrow into wood and hurt somebody's home. Did you know the Bible says that there are men who are as worms and they're destructive? For instance, Bible says in Proverbs 6:24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of her tongue. Let me warn y'all. You know, there are women that will on purpose try to get men to fall. You young men, some girl gets to flaunting herself and using her body and using her winsome ways to try to win you. You better run, buddy. Stay away from that. And you ladies, we don't need that around the church. Cover yourself up. Don't you use your body to advertise anything around here. You say, I don't like that. That's tough. I'm going to say it. Don't wrap yourself so tight. Don't show it off. I'm not going to have it. It's wrong. The Bible talks about evil and strange women that use their bodies to entice. They use their flattering words. Now, there's nothing wrong with a lady complimenting a man, but gal, if your whole intent is to draw him in and see if you can entice him, you're evil. You're evil. But what's it talking about? There are worms that are hurtful. They can be evil. The Bible says in Psalm 15, verse number 3, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor. Here's talking about somebody misusing their tongue. There's a human being that's misusing their tongue like a worm. Galatians 5:15 says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another. Hey, here the Bible's telling us a worm is compared to man. There are worms that are destructive, and men can be destructive. Men can be deceivers. Men who eat away. Hey, there are people that'll eat away at your faith like a worm eats away at the stalk of a stalk of corn. Listen to this, Acts 12:23. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There are actually people that will deteriorate your faith. You listen to me now. We don't need less prayer. We need more prayer. We don't need less soul winning. We need more soul winning. We don't need less faith in the Word of God. We need more faith in the Word of God. We've got to believe and be strong. Let's be careful not to let men as worms eat at our faith. Worms can be hurtful, so can men. There are worms that thrive in dung. There are worms that eat flesh and destroy men. There are worms that can poison you. There are worms that can, if you suffer their bite, it can cause hallucinations. Hey, are you a worm that is deteriorating away the faith of someone? Are you a worm? Are you a young lady or a young man and you're like a worm and you're gnawing away at some other Christian friend, or you're gnawing away at somebody's belief in God? Hey, young people, if I are you, you're getting around somebody that is pulling you away from God and pulling you away from church and pulling you away from mom and dad and pulling you away from purity and pulling you away from doing right. You got a worm on your hands. You better be careful. But not only could worms be destructive, worms can be productive. There are worms who are laborers. You've heard of a silkworm. It's productive, making something happen. There are worms that accomplish good. There are men and women who accomplish good for God as well. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Here, the Apostle Paul says, it's written in the Bible, he says of Mark, he said, Mark is profitable to me for the ministry. I was preaching out of town just a couple of weeks ago, and I said to the congregation, I said, folks, if your pastor could be honest, would he say of you that you are profitable to him in the ministry? It got very quiet in that auditorium. I told him, I said, I'm not asking you if the pastor would say you show up for church. Would he say of you what Paul said of Mark, that person is profitable to me in the ministry? You and I, we are to be productive worms. I mean, if God's going to compare us to a worm, let's be a productive worm. Let's get something done. Let's be a blessing to the church and a blessing to the things of God and a blessing to the ministry. Hey, I like this. Did you know productive worms will help you catch fish? And Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. When I was looking for worms, I was always looking for worms for one of two reasons. One, to go fishing. Two, to scare a girl with. And both are very productive. Till one day, I remember one day at recess. I just thought of this, Brother Baxter. I remember one day at recess, there's this girl. There were some rocks that were a part of a sidewalk. And if you'd pull up, sometimes great big flat rocks, there's a worm up under it. It was recess one day. And there's this girl. She kept on giving me a hard time. She was a bully. But she kept on giving me a hard time. I thought, I'll tell you, I'll get a worm. I'll get a worm after you. I went over and I grabbed a big old worm. I walked over her and I said, hey, look at this worm. And I shoved it in her face. She grabbed it and bit it in half.
And I said, I'm not fighting her after school today. The only time in life I've ever seen a woman act like that. But I use worms to go fishing. And folks, we ought to be fishing for the souls of men. We ought to be fishermen for Christ, and we ought to be trying to keep people out of hell. Finally, let me say this, and I'm finished. God compares man to a worm. Saved men can behave like worms. We can see the comparison here, but not only that. Lost men, they too are mankind. And lost men need to get saved. If you don't get saved, you'll end up going to hell. And the Bible says, in hell, the worm dieth not. Mark 9:44, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. In Mark 9:46, it says, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. In Mark 9:48, it says, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If you're here tonight, and you're not saved, if you die unsaved, you will go to hell, and you will burn forever. The Bible says, the worm dieth not. What it means is, you'll be in eternal punishment and eternal torment. And not even the littlest worm dies there. You'll stay alive forever, but you'll suffer death forever. It's a burning, it's a torture that is it's virtually incomprehensible by man how bad it is. If you're not saved, you need to get saved so you don't die and go to hell where the worm dieth not. I had probably read the scripture about God comparing man to a worm many, many times and just brushed it off. One day I said, I wonder why. I began to pray about it and I began to think about it. And I thought, I thank God that he makes me, mankind, the Bible, he makes it easy to understand and down to earth where all of us could learn something from it. Now we can see a little better why God might compare man to a worm. Job said, how much less man that is a worm. Man that is a worm. Let's understand the comparison. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to get saved before you go to a hell where the worm dieth not. If you're saved tonight, maybe you need to be more humble like the worm. Maybe you need to be like the worm and become one that catches fish, and it's time for you to start winning souls. Maybe you need to make sure that you're not the destructive worm that gnaws and chews away at the moral fiber of the church or of somebody else. Maybe it is you need to learn to behave like the worm in the way that the worm is humble before God. I don't know. My first question tonight is this, though. If you died tonight, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If you say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure. Well, you can be. You can trust Christ and be sure that you're on your way to heaven. Would anybody here tonight say, preacher, if I died tonight, I'm not saved. It's something I need to take care of. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me, preacher. I want you to pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. Somebody else, you say, I'm not saved tonight. I don't want to. God bless you. I see that hand. Somebody else, you say, I'm not saved tonight. I need to trust Christ as Savior. Here's what's going to happen. In a moment, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. In a few moments, I'll signal the instrumentalist. They'll begin to play. We'll all stand in just a second. The choir will begin to sing. When that happens, if you just raise your hand, you leave your seat. Whether you're in the balcony or on the lower floor, leave your seat. You come back in this auditorium if you're in the balcony. If you're already on the lower floor, you just come forward. You walk forward. The men that are currently sitting on this platform will be standing down front at the end of each aisle. And if you're not saved, you leave your seat. You walk toward those men. You come to one of the men and say, I want to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again, where God would save man, a worm, keep you from going to the hell where the worm dieth not. If you raised your hand a moment ago, you come. If you should have raised your hand a moment ago and you did not, you come. But I believe there are Christians in this house that somehow the teaching, some practical point within tonight's sermon, you said, I needed that. I needed to be reminded of that. Now I see why God would compare man to a worm, and there's part of my behavior that needs to be adjusted because of what I've heard tonight. Maybe you need to come. Who here would say, "Preacher, God has spoken to my heart about something special tonight"? Would you raise your hand? And there are hands all over the auditorium. Maybe there's somebody that's been saved and you need to come and make it public. Maybe you've been saved and never baptized and you need to come. Maybe it is somebody here needs to rededicate your life. Maybe you say, "You know what? I've gotten away from God and my arrogancy has divided me between God, and I need to be like the worm and humbly come back to God and give my life back to Him." Maybe that's you tonight. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time. I need everyone to stand to your feet with your head bowed and eyes closed. Choir, sing if you will, if you need the altar. You come. Like a worm, have you become overly fearful of man? Do you fear people at work and fear people that are your neighbors and fear people at school? And you, like a worm, you run and hide. Maybe it is you need to stop fearing man so much. Somebody here needs to realize that God, the great deliverer, has protected you as a worm. He's protected you. He's kept you safe. Give Him credit for that watch care and that protection. Be careful lying open to danger. Remember, you need God and a relationship with God. The worm cannot deliver himself from the badger. That worm can't deliver himself from a monkey that's looking for food. He can't protect himself. And may I say to you, you better get close to your God. You better hide in the Word of God and hide in prayer and the power of prayer and learn to hide in the Holy Spirit of God to be safe, because you're not going to protect yourself. You better remember that there is a vulture out to destroy you. There's a vulture. If you're not saved, why don't you come and get born again? If you've been saved and never baptized, why don't you come and let us baptize you tonight? If you have been saved and baptized after your salvation, maybe you need to join the church. Would you come? Somebody needs to dedicate yourself to becoming a productive worm, becoming a soul winner, and reaching others for Jesus Christ. Some of you have far too much admiration, and I mean in a sinful way, of other human beings. Money doesn't really make anybody special. Fancy clothes doesn't make anybody special. You say, "Look at how good looking they are. They're just a worm. Just a worm made of dirt." We're going to exalt somebody. Let's exalt Jesus. Let's exalt Jesus. Let's look at Jesus and the beauty of Jesus. Just keep singing, choir. There are people still coming. If you raised your hand and you said, "I'm not saved, I need to be born again," why don't you come? We won't embarrass you. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again tonight. 21 other people this morning did that very thing right here in this auditorium. A couple dozen did it last week in this auditorium. Thousands have done it in this auditorium. If you've been saved and you never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, why don't you come and be obedient to God? Baptism won't save you. It'll just make you obedient to God. Choir, one more time through the song, please. One more time, if you will. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation. Have a seat there. If I call your name...